This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I'm going to start with the first question. Gary asked me not to tell him anything we were going to ask him today, which is especially going to make this fun. My first question is for Greg Hahn. Why is Gary Vaynerchuk so popular?
Start with the easy one. Gary is a one-man content machine. Even when the cameras aren't rolling, they should be, because everything that comes out of his mouth is so fucking interesting and, like, quotable. Turn them on and, watch them run.
And this one's for you, Gary. Why is Greg Hahn such a great creative leader?
When I came into this industry, I knew nothing, literally nothing. I didn't even know that media and creative were separate when I started this company. And so for me, when I got in, I found it fascinating about how much passion there was about the work, the creative, and there would be names that would be thrown around, and I would go to Google and try to figure out who are these characters. And most of them, when I would Google, just didn't really look very interesting. And so when I Googled Greg, I'm like, oh, that looks like a fucking rock star, actually. Not like the way people are like, that's a rock star, like they're good at their job. And I was like, that was interesting to me. And then as we were building the agency, I would interview quite a bit and always found it fascinating of the people that others would reference that they were inspired by or were interested by. And at the end of the day, I'm always most fascinated by, especially, this is gonna land with everybody, in the world we live in today, I was always curious about this even a decade ago, but more than ever, I'm always interested about what people think about people that have actually spent a lot of time with those individuals. And so the spark that would come out of a creative that had worked under Greg, that when I was going through interviewing through the last decade, always caught my attention of, like, there's a real creative connection between the people that have worked for him and with him, and I always found that fascinating.
Thank you, and thank you for hiring some people away from me.
That's the plan at all times.
As you're interviewing them, to work with you.
I don't know if anyone can tell, we're all white men, unfortunately. Gary, let's talk about how you, especially since thinking back to when you founded VaynerMedia, how you built a team that you could make sure was not just a bunch of people who looked like you, thought like you. How did you bring that intention to how you built VaynerMedia?
By being a dictator on the issue, right? Like, to me, it was funny, you said, that when you were talking, I was listening, when you set up the question, you said, let's mention the difficult questions or the difficult things. And in my brain, I laughed. I'm like, it's actually incredibly easy. I just tell Rob, our chief creative officer, that he can't hire a this or a that. Like, it's no different than the CFO says, you can't spend more money than you have or you'll go out of business. I just tell him. And I just tell everybody, like, I think people get very spooked by quotas or bad or this and that. Like, intent is everything. And so for me, I was very fortunate. I grew up my entire life where my mom was my hero. I grew up in incredibly diverse realities. And I didn't come from corporate. So when I started Vayner, we had crazy all over. I mean, the first 39 people that worked in the agency didn't have a day of agency experience. They came from all over the place. And, I think it's really not hard. I'm always fascinated when people come up with excuses of, like, we can't find this or this and that. I'm like, it's just not true. And, I really, really am happy that it's such a conversation at such a high level, because it's changing behavior and that's how comms work, and that makes me happy. But to be very transparent, it's just because I want it to be that way. Like, everything that is wrong at VaynerMedia is 100% my fault. Like, not 99, it's just the way, it's the truth, right? Like, I hire the chief strategy officer, and Wanda, like, may make a hire, but I'm the one who hired her. And I trust my people, thus I don't know 99% of what's actually going on every second, but in the macro it's me, and thus if I want something to be a certain way, that's on me. Whether it's the work, whether it's the way we staff, the way we pay, where we are in the world, and so I take on that accountability. That's the price of entry to be a CEO.
We are here obviously to talk today about disrupting marketing, disrupting this industry. I feel like you two are great examples in the sense that Gary disrupted this industry from coming in from outside, right? You have disrupted it from the inside, especially coming in from a major holding company agency and starting new. Gary, you have mentioned often that certain things just made no sense to you when you came into this industry because you know, you were able to come in from the outside and say, why do you do this? You've talked a lot, obviously, about the split between media and creative that happened in the 80s, which a lot of advertising professionals have grown to regret over the years and that you've been working to address. What else did you notice coming into it that you're like, that makes no sense, I'm going to not do that? And do you feel that VaynerMedia has been able to follow through on being different?
I mean, I definitely feel like we're different. As to answer that part, in the front part, I mean, 2009 is a trillion years ago, right? When I came in, I didn't understand why Pepsi wasn't on Twitter. And so everything for me early on was, why do the Fortune 500 companies not understand the level of actualized consumption on these social media platforms? Why do they not understand that Facebook fan pages and Twitter are a really big deal, and this thing Tumblr's coming and seemingly could be a big deal, and YouTube's a really big deal, and why do they accept these reports that say this is how many people consumed it when these reports are clearly flawed if you really break them down? And why do we justify all of it on internal MMMs that are flawed? And why do we justify based on headlines and awards? This is subjective creativity, which is amazing. Creative is the variable of success, but the process of getting there. It's similar, it was very similar to me in the way that I saw education. There is nothing more important in the world than education. It's how we move the needle, if you really think about it. The way we have packaged and sold education in today's world isn't grounded in common sense to the world we live in. That was my observation in the creative industry. There's nothing more important than the creative because it's the variable of why someone decides they like something or not. The way we made it, the costs associated with it, and the way we distributed it didn't make sense for me in 2009. What's scary for me is in 2022, the world that I saw coming is very clear to everybody. It's here in a lot of ways, right? And yet, a lot of it is still being done in similar ways. So most of it didn't make sense, and that's why we've gone about it differently.
Gary, I do want to talk about the way that you have built VaynerMedia. You and I spoke on a podcast once about when you were doing just so many Super Bowl ads, and I felt like that was the year where a lot of people were like, oh, Gary's doing some fun stuff with social media. It's a social agency. They do tweets. And then all of a sudden you're doing, how many is like 4 in 1 year, maybe more Super Bowl?
We've done 8 in 3 years.
Eight Super Bowl ads in 3 years. And that was like the moment that I felt like a lot of agencies were like, oh shit. They're real. What did you feel like going in terms of disruption of moving into this space that we're going to do really big, really bold work that's going to redefine social, that's going to also just get into these very traditional spaces? What did you want to do to make sure you didn't just keep making more of the kind of work that's already been out there?
I didn't think of it that way. I thought of it as when a client pays you, you should do the thing that they are hoping will happen. That's the only way I've ever thought about it. That's the only way I'll ever think about it. Thus, make work that is actually consumed and inspires consideration to do the thing, whether that's raise charity, whether it's sell peanuts, whatever it is, do that. Super Bowl is the most underpriced media in the world. 60 to 100 million people will actually watch that thing. That is profound. Social, TikTok, LinkedIn on the organic side, Facebook right now on the media side because of some of the changes with iOS 14.5. We will always follow the actual consumption of the consumer, and we will then try to make creative that is contextual to the distribution in that arena, and we will try to make as much of it as possible so that we can actually be relevant to the many different psychographic cohorts that exist in society. And that's all I ever think about. There is nothing else. It was never like, we need to become like this or that. And it goes in both directions. You know how many agencies right now are like, especially with how I've been playing out in NFT land, a lot of people have come up to me and like, Gary, we're building a metaverse for our brand. I'm like, there's nobody there. Not yet. Meta's on its way. Oculus is really further along in some ways, but at the scale of the cost of building in Decentraland or a sandbox, like to us, it's only about attention, reverse engineering attention, and then making things that people actually want to consume, not things that we want to make. And that level of humility is really needed in this industry.
Gary, I did want to ask about comfort zones. I know you're not a person who's always been held back by such things, but a lot of people in this industry do feel like they're constantly having to press themselves out of a comfort zone of a business thing. You could have stayed in the businesses you launched at the beginning. You could have sold them and just gone to Mallorca or whatever, but you kept launching new businesses, Vayner NFT. Is that, do you find yourself in pushing yourself to always try something that's going to be a little different, a little harder than the last thing you built? And what would you tell people who maybe feel like they're not pushing themselves hard enough?
I don't think about it as pushing myself at all. I think about it from the standpoint of I want to be happy. And so, you know, when I was 7 and everybody went outside, it was fun for me to make a lemonade stand. That was my DNA. Some people like to sing, some like golf, some like cooking, some love music. You know, I just really think it's cool to play business. I genuinely enjoy it. And so it's not like I wanna like push myself to win. You know, like I love competition and all those things and business, but it's genuinely fun. I'm curious. I'm like, I wonder if we can do this. I'm curious if this would work. But what does drive me in the decisions of the new companies we start in the holding company is, this is something that we can do better at a better price, which is valuable for what the ecosystem wants. This is something that I think consumers are going to do at scale. So I reverse engineer from like what makes me happy, and what makes me happy is trying new things. You know, to me, my creativity comes in operations and starting new stuff and trying to operate it to success. So many of my successful friends are like, man, if you ever just focused on one thing, you would fuck. And I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to focus on one thing. I'd rather fail or do less success than not do my art. And my art is trying to stand up different businesses, try different things. I really enjoy it.
So you asked me what makes Gary interesting. I think we learned a lot about that today. But I would say, you know, how I thought about it is like, Gary is 100% in everything he does. You never see him going through the motions, man. And you're just like fully committed, even in every conversation. So, you know, that's not
Greg,
common these
days. You know what it is? Back to like everybody, like on some real human shit with each other, like you're gonna be dead forever, right? When you die, it will be dead forever. You have not been alive for a very long time. Like before you were born, Earth was really fucking happening for a long ass time. We are here for a fucking nanosecond. Unfortunately, that will be, and you may be surprised me saying this, because for me, I'm gonna do me regardless. Unfortunately, the world, even in France, unfortunately, the world works a lot. We work a lot. If you eliminate sleep out of your life cycle, and think about how much of your entire life will be work, it's a high percentage. Stay at home mom and dad, work, right? To not fight for that to be at least good, fuck solid. And what are you thinking about if you dislike it? Like if you are genuinely not happy waking up doing what you're doing, you literally need to stand up right now, call your boss and quit. I'll lend you some money. You'll pay me back. And so to that point, I'm all in because I'm incredibly logical about this. It's a nanosecond. To compromise just peace of mind, and this is why we need multiple different conversations. You know how many people could start great companies as well if they just lived within their means? Greg may have the capacity with his co-founders to build a very, very big agency that may create a certain level of finance, right? But it blows my mind that people don't realize they could start something that may not pay you millions, but it might pay you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. And if, like, how, I just don't understand how people don't understand that it's better off to make 90,000 or 70,000 a year and be ecstatic than make 165 or 219 and be fucking miserable. And until we redefine success based on being at peace and smiling when you wake the fuck up, we will continue to be confused. And that's why I'm all in, because I'm gonna be dead forever.
And this is why it's good to do a panel with Gary Vaynerchuk.
It's just true.